Blasters ready, they fell into formation and moved forward. Ryan took the lead, with Jack moving up to join him and keep his senses alert for the location of the enemy. Christy came next, with Doc just behind, reloading the Lama as they moved. Dean and Mildred followed, with JB bringing up the rear, switching from the Uzi to the M4000. He had more cartridges packed with the deadly barbed metal flechettes, and figured that they could inflict more confusion and damage at close range than Uzi fire. The curving corridor was dog-legged as it moved upward, the incline consequently relatively gentle, and the slope needing less space underground, allowing rooms and units to lead off it. It didn't make great demands on their calf muscles, sapping strength. But the downside was that it had more than its fair share of blind corners, and Ryan kept the pace slow as they moved up. He kept his eye firmly on Jack, who would indicate with the briefest shake of his white mane that the enemy was still on the descent, and not around the corner. It was a race against time. Ryan wanted to find a position that provided cover before the descending enemy came either head-on into them, or was able to establish a position of cover first and be able to pick off the approaching companions. At each corner, Ryan concentrated every muscle, every instinct, to be ready for the onslaught. But the expected attack didn't come. Ryan's gut feeling was that whoever was in charge of the approaching force was of the same opinions as he, and was playing the odds on whether the oncoming companions were to rush straight in or establish cover.
Slow down. Not far.
They had reached the redoubt's next level, the slope's incline leveling out onto a flat floor. Ahead of them, a sector was open, its red coloring just showing at the side of the wall, disappearing into a concrete pillar that also contained the housing for the sector release mechanism. On this side of the door, to their right, lay a dormitory, a shower room to the left. Both doors were closed. Ryan signaled for everybody to slow, indicating the concrete support that arched across the circumference of the tunnel. They were to split into two groups. Ryan took himself, Christy, Jack, and Doc to the left, while Dean, Mildred, and JB split off to the right, assuming positions that kept them close to the wall, taking advantage of the scant cover provided by the concrete pillar.
"Jack, think you can take out that room, see if we're alone here, and quick?"
Jack nodded, a grin splitting his scarred and pitted white visage. On the other side, JB had guessed exactly what Ryan was telling the albino, even though the one-eyed man had deliberately kept his voice low, in case the rooms were in fact occupied. The armorer turned to Dean and Mildred.
"We need to see if those rooms are free. Ryan's sending Jack into the shower room. I'll take the dorm."
"I'll do it. I may be quicker."
It took the armorer less than a fraction of a second to decide. With a nod, he indicated to Dean that he could take on the task. Dean and Jack glanced at each other across the breadth of the tunnel. Jack held up a white hand. Three fingers were erect. Jack curled one, then two, and then three, bunching them into a fist. Dean caught the count immediately. As one, the two young men sprang from their stations behind the pillar, their colleagues ready to cover them should any fire be drawn by their sudden action. There was none. Within seconds, each youth was in front of the room he had to wreck and secure. It was bizarre that many rooms in redoubts that didn't house comp equipment or supplies, like the armory or the dispensary, hadn't been fitted with sectors. Perhaps, in the distant days before Skydark, this was the result of a bureaucrat penny-pinching on the black budget of the totality concept. But all that it meant for Jack and Dean was that they didn't have to punch in a sec code and wait for the door to creep open. Jack didn't bother with the smooth knob of the door in front of him. Raising one combat-booted foot, he used every ounce of strength to crash his foot into the area of the door just below the chromium. The door's thin metal crumpled, the fragile lock giving under the sudden stress. The door flew back, slamming hard against the wall. If anyone had been waiting behind it for Jack to enter, then the force of it would have stunned them. But even before the door had reached the wall, Jack had adjusted his balance and taken a flying leap into the darkened shower room, somersaulting in the air and making himself a hard target to hit. There was no light within the room. Jack's red eyes were better adjusted to the gloom. He'd spent much of his early youth in the bayou hunting by night, and his instincts had evolved to the point where it was possible for him to become almost at one with the shadows. The shower room resembled a locker room, where it was possible to dry off and change clothes, the towels and soap kept in freestanding metal cabinets. Through a narrow channel was the tiled shower area, The shower is a series of self-contained cubicles. Plenty of places for an enemy to hide, but also plenty of places for Jack to take cover. The .357 Magnum Colt Python was in his fist as he emerged upright from the somersault, his trigger finger resting lightly on the guard. He adjusted it without thinking. Jack was ready to squeeze off a shot if necessary. In his other hand lay one of his razor-sharp, leaf-bladed throwing knives. As he shifted weight forward on the balls of his feet to facilitate rapid motion, a shaft of light from the corridor outside caught the blade, its edges glittering. Without thinking, Jack shifted the angle of his hand so that the light no longer caught on the blade. The room was silent. Lauren couldn't detect any sign of an enemy, not even the merest whisper of breath. Jack scanned the room, his eyes taking in the shadows. They were constant. Nothing was moving in here. Satisfied that the room was empty, but still keeping triple alert in case the opposition were as skilled in the art of hunting as he, Jack moved lightly and quickly to the shower cubicles. Normally, he would have taken each in turn, opening the doors and investigating each, but time wouldn't allow it. He had to marry speed with stealth.
Et toi!
Jack threw himself forward into a series of rolls, throwing out one combat-booted foot and crashing open the door to each shower as he passed it. All the while, his Colt Python stayed focused and aimed at the stalls as he passed them, finger loose on the trigger to prevent accidents, but the tendons like coiled springs that would squeeze on instinct within a fraction of a second. If intruders were hiding in any of the cubicles, the force of the door being kicked in their face would have been enough to cause them to attack. Jack came up against the wall, landing in a squatting position with his back to the wall, his blaster and knife swiveling toward any point of attack. There was nothing. Rising swiftly to his feet, Jack skipped back past the stalls, turning to face each as he passed, the Colt Python trained on the empty space. Jack ran from cubicle to cubicle, sidling up against the wall until he reached the concrete pillar that provided shelter for Ryan and Christy.
Clear.
Meanwhile, Dean had been tackling the dormitories. The younger Carter didn't have Jack's speed and sharpened hunting instincts, but he did have the quickness of youth and battle skills that he'd acquired over his time with the companions. Dean's approach to the closed door was subtler than Jack's. Flattening himself against the wall to one side of the door, Dean closed his hand around the chromium doorknob and twisted, flicking his wrist so that the door was propelled backward. Before the lock had even clicked, his hand was back across his chest, safe from any fire that may have greeted the first movement of the door. Nothing. The door opened on a darkened room.
All right, Dean. You can do this.
He concentrated his attention on the task ahead. He knew the layouts of these dorm rooms from previous redoubts. If the room had been changed by the inhabitants, then he had a problem. That was just a chance he had to take. Dean swooped low, turning and throwing himself into the room at an angle. His body crouched low. The trajectory made him difficult to hit, and he knew where he was headed. Luck was with him. Whoever inhabited the redoubt either hadn't moved anything in the dorms, or never used them. Because the metal storage locker, in which spare bedding was usually stored, was exactly where he'd guessed it would be, offering him some degree of cover as it rested almost snug to two walls. The gap was enough for him to squeeze into, covering him on three sides and enabling him to take in the rest of the room. The dormitory was a large space with beds running in rows, small lockers between each bed. The beds were high, with narrow metal shafts for legs that gave plenty of room underneath for any enemy to use as a crawl space. And the room was rectangular, with no other nooks or crannies in which anyone could hide. From his position, Dean was able to take in the room at a glance. It seemed to be empty, and the open door let a shaft of light pour into the room while keeping him still in shadow. Though it seemed empty, there were still a few pools of shadow where the light had failed to penetrate. These would have to be dealt with. Dean left his position and dropped to his belly, the Browning high power held in front of him. He pushed off from the wall and started to crawl under the beds, using his shadow cover to surprise anyone he might come across. Every sense told him that the dorm was empty, but he had to make certain. It was a swift process. The boy moved through the shadows and light with ease, encountering no obstacles. The dorm, like the shower room, was empty. As Dean reached the last of the beds, he rose fluidly to his feet and slipped out of the room, staying close to the wall as he moved back to where Mildred, JB, and Doc were waiting.
It's empty.
Good to hear.
Dean moved back into cover behind the pillar. It was time to put his father's plan into action. Gesturing to JB, Ryan indicated that they should move out from behind the pillar and take the empty rooms to establish a base of operations. There was little time. The approaching enemy was now audible to all the companions. The advancing force seemed to be small and was moving slowly. It wasn't hard to guess that they were taking the corridor section by section as well, not underestimating their potential enemy. This gave the companions enough time to move.